more, you're the best of protectors, so protect me. Oh, I'm more, you're the best of protectors, so protect me.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آليك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آليك وأصحابك يا نور الله Welcome dear viewers to another episode of our amazing program أسماء الحسنى And in this episode, just like the previous episodes, we will be endeavoring to cover another beautiful name. In fact, names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and explain them in the light of what the ulama have written. So inshallah, let us begin. The names that we'll be discussing today are Ali and Kabir. Al-Aliyu, Al-Kabiru. These are two names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us begin with Al-Ali. Al-Ali means to be elevated, to be lofty, for someone to be in a high status. And elevation, or being above, being loftier than someone, or this quality of Ali, this is in two aspects. You could be Ali in terms of mass, in terms of body size, for example. And secondly, Ali, superior, lofty, elevated in terms of the honor that you possess, the rank that you have. So with our creator Allah Azza wa Jal, we know that the first aspect in terms of body size, in terms of jism, he is free from that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from such defects of having a body, being in a place, being confined to a place. This would be considered a defect. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from all of these things. And in regards to the dhat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the hadith we're told, لَا تَتَفَكَّرُوا فِي اللَّهِ That do not ponder, do not reflect upon the dhat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fatahliku, otherwise you'll be destroyed. But how do you gain ma'rifah, how do you gain recognition of Allah azza wa jal? This is by means of reflecting upon His creation. Tafakkaru fil khalq. That you reflect upon the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah this will lead to a greater understanding, recognition, ma'rifah, gnosis, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referred to as Al-Aliyu, this means in terms of rank, in terms of rutbah, in terms of status, in terms of honor, in terms of respect. And it goes without saying that makhluq, everything that Allah has created, it doesn't matter how much of a rank He gives to creation, they will never be equal to Him, they will never be level with Him in rank. Nothing like that. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Ali and the rest of creation, despite the blessings they have been bestowed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, cannot ever reach anywhere near His rank. And the rank of every other thing, makhluq, is inferior, is lower than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we refer to creation as Ali, and we do keep the name Ali, in fact Sayyiduna Ali radiallahu ta'ala, the fourth Khalifa of the Muslims, the son-in-law of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That was his name, Ali. What does it mean when you refer to creation as Ali? This is in only some aspects, some qualities found within the dhat of a person. When we say somebody is Ali, and we take the literal meaning, lofty, superior. But mutlaqan, unconditionally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ali. He is lofty, superior in all aspects. And the loftiness, the superiority that he possesses is unmatchable, is unparalleled. Creation cannot possess any such superiority or any loftiness. This is not possible. Now the Anbiya alayhimus salatu wasalam, they are those blessed individuals who have the highest rank, the most superior rank from all of creation. And then from the Anbiya alayhimus salam, our beloved master Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he possesses the greatest rank. He is superior to all of creation. And Allah Jalla wa'ala, His rank is even greater. He is the one who bestowed that rank on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this was a brief discussion on the name Al-Ali. Moving on, Al-Kabir. This is under the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this means for something to be big, something to be great. Again, when referring to Allah as Kabir, it does not mean in terms of body, jism. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from that. He is distanced from that. So the same things will be applied as we just discussed in the Al-Ali, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from direction, free from place, free from time, free from space, all of these things. So none is equal to him, and he does not possess a body as well. What does it mean by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being Kabir then? When we say Allah is Al-Kabir, it means he possesses, he has all attributes of perfection. As-sifatul kamila. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has all attributes of perfection. He is a compendium, a jami' of all of those perfect attributes. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it befits him to be proud. Kibr, kabir, kibr, the same root words. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it befits him to be proud, to show takabbur. So when we refer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, takabbur is a different thing. It has a different meaning. When we refer to creation, takabbur is a different thing. When creation is proud, creation is arrogant, that's different. It's madmum. And as for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's mahmud, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is kabir. Kibriyai, in one hadith we're told, kibriya is his rida, is his cloak, metaphorically speaking. And whoever tries to show proudfulness or tries to be arrogant, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will destroy such a person unless he repents. So what is required from us then as creation, as beings, lowly beings, that we do not show takabbur in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Why? Because it would destroy our iman. Secondly, that we must show ajizi, which is the opposite of kibr. That we must show humbleness in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as a result of that humbleness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will elevate our rank. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will raise us. Man tawada'a lillah rafa'ahu Allah. This is a hadith of the Prophet alayhi salam, that whoever lowers himself for Allah azza wa jal, Allah Almighty will raise that person. Subhanallah. Here I would like to mention an account that is mentioned, written by Imam Abu Qasim Al-Qushayri rahmatullahi alayh in his book Sharhu Asma'il Husna. He says that Sayyidina Musa ala nabina wa alayhi salatu wassalam was given revelation. Revelation was sent to him that you go to some mountain, so that you may hear the divine speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we know that Musa alayhi salam is Kalimullah, the one who heard the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who conversed with Allah azza wa jal. We know the story, he went to Mount Tur, and that's where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala conversed with him. So he was commanded to go to a mountain, and he wasn't given the specific hukam of going to Mount Tur, Mount Sinai. It was just a general hukam. Now, me and you both, we must have seen great mountains, great in size, massive mountains. And those mountains, they're lifeless. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through his infinite power, has granted understanding to mountains, to rocks, these inanimate, lifeless things. Yes, in the Quran we're told, Surah Baqarah, verse 74, وَإِنَّ مِنَ الْحِجَارَةِ لَمَا يَتَفَجَّرُ مِنْهُ الْأَنْهَارُ وَإِنَّ مِنْهَا لَمَا يَشَّقَّقُ فَيَخْرُجُ مِنْهُ الْمَاءُ وَإِنَّ مِنْهَا لَمَا يَهْبِطُ مِنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ. That indeed, from stones, from these mountains, there are some from which water flows, rivers flow, and there are some which split and then water exits from them. And then there are some, لَمَا يَهْبِطُ مِنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ. They are those which fall, which collapse because of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِنَّ مِنْهَا لَمَا يَهْبِطُ مِنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ. So this tells us that they have an understanding. They are able to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when Musa alayhi salam was going towards the mountains, it is stated that the rest of the mountains, they began to become elevated, thinking of themselves as something great. And they were desirous that Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam would bless them, would enter upon them and fulfill this command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Mount Tur, Mount Sinai, this did not do the same. In fact, this became, you could say, it shrunk, or it became less in size. And this was because of its humbleness. Yes. And it said to itself that I'm not worthy of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam coming and stepping upon me, placing his blessed feet upon me. I'm not worthy of this. I don't deserve this. Who am I? The mountain, Allah granted it shu'ur. And it was just thinking this when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent revelation to Musa alayhi salam and commanded him to go on Mount Tur. Commanded him to actually enter upon this mountain. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those who are humble. Allah jalla wa ala loved this thinking, this mindset, this shu'ur, this understanding that the mountain had, that who am I? I'm nothing. Musa alayhi salam is going to come upon me, converse with Allah, place his blessed feet upon me. How is this possible? And because of his humbleness, it was blessed by Allah jalla wa ala, and Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam entered upon it for this very purpose. Allahu Akbar. So we learn that showing humbleness is beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the blessing you gain because of humbleness, you just heard that Mount Tur was blessed. And it's mentioned in the Quran as well, Tura Sina, that because of ajizi, because of humbleness, because of considering itself lowly, it was blessed by the feet of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. And the other mountains which became elevated and proud, they were deprived. Allahu Akbar. And someone who is arrogant, he's deprived of blessing. And when we look at the life of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we find beautiful examples of humility, of humbleness. And he taught the Sahaba the same as well. In one account, it's mentioned that Sayyidina Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu anhu and another individual, there was somewhat of a dispute, and Sayyidina Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu anhu taunted him using his mother's name, using that person's mother's name, or referencing his mother. And that person who heard this from Sayyidina Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu anhu, it broke his heart. He was disheartened. So he came to the court of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he relayed what had happened, what Sayyidina Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu anhu had said to him. When the Prophet alayhi salam heard this, he found out what had happened. He summoned Sayyidina Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala and said, "Innaka imra'un fika jahiliyyah." Indeed, you are a man who still has traits of jahiliyyah in you. Who still has traits of jahiliyyah, the period of ignorance. And we know that before Islam, the people of Arabia were very arrogant and they were so boastful. And that was within their nature. And here, to rebuke Sayyidina Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu anhu, to censure him, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "You are a man which still possesses traits of jahiliyyah," meaning this trait of showing arrogance. When Sayyidina Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu anhu heard this, he was a believer. These words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam penetrated his heart. So he went to that person and he sought forgiveness. How did he seek forgiveness? He laid on the floor and he told that person that I want you to put your feet on my cheek. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Why did he do this? Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also instructed him that if you have a slave, a ghulam for example, even though you're the owner, but you still must fulfill its rights, the rights of that slave. Allah has placed them as your subordinates, but that does not mean you mistreat them. When you eat, feed them. When you clothe yourself, clothe them as well. Meaning give them a good standard of living as well. Give them tasks that they are capable of doing. Don't overburden them. If you do, then help them yourself in that task as well. So Sayyidina Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu anhu, the effects that these words have had on him, subhanAllah, he went to this person, he lied down on the floor, and he told him to put his feet on his cheek. And the narration mentions that he himself, Sayyidina Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, took the feet of that person and rubbed it on his own cheek. Allahu Akbar. This was to make himself humble. And he took on the lesson that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught him about removing the traits of arrogance and showing humbleness, even before your slaves as well. So this was just one example of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in, that they weren't content until they did something like this. Only then were they satisfied. Like Sayyidina Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu anhu took a hold of that person's foot and placed it on his own cheek. Allahu Akbar. That if something happens, we're humans, we can err, we can fall short in our deeds, then this is the way to compensate for that, subhanAllah. Let me mention another account, and this is regarding Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala. Such a great individual, such a just individual, subhanAllah. It's narrated regarding him. I remember he was one of the ministers of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the world. Sayyidina Abu Bakr and Sayyidina Umar, two ministers of the Prophet alayhi wa sallam on the earth. And there are two ministers in the heavens, the angels, alayhim as-salam. So, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, what was the level of his ajizi, his humbleness? It's mentioned that once he was walking in Al-Madinah to Munawwara, and he said to the children of Medina, that, O children of Medina, do dua that Umar is forgiven. Imagine that, would we do that today? We saw a young child, we wouldn't even pay attention to him. Unfortunately, sadly, we wouldn't give him that same ahmiya, importance and significance. But here Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, Khalifatul Muslimin, Sahabi Rasul, the second greatest companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's saying to the kids of Medina, the children of Medina, O children, do dua for Umar that he is forgiven. Allahu Akbar. This was the level of his humbleness. So regarding Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, it's mentioned that he was walking somewhere once in the streets of Medina al-Munawwara, and there was a faqir who was blind, who could not see. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala bumped into him by accident. He said, the faqir who was blind said, are you blind? Do you not look where you're going? And Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, Khalifatul Muslimin, he has so much respect, so much honor. He turned around and he said, I'm not blind, but I made a mistake. I'm not blind. Mistake occurred from me. Think about this for a moment. The leader of the Muslims, the one who commands so much respect and honor in his time. And what wouldn't someone do for Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala? So many were ready to serve him day and night. He was chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to lead the Muslims. And here he is apologizing to that individual and saying, I'm not blind, but I made a mistake. Subhanallah. This is the thing that we are missing today. If that was us in that situation, we'd say, how dare you say that? You're blind yourself. Ma'azallah. Or we'd lash out, we'd react. We would feel that we've been provoked and we have to reply now. We have to react angrily. Allahu Akbar. Look at Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala. This was the tarbiyah, the nurturing of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is how he taught the Sahaba. This is how he instructed them to adopt humility and humbleness. Subhanallah. So they knew that insan, why is insan mutakabbir? Insan is nothing. They knew that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is worthy of showing takabbur, kibriyai, of showing kibr. And he is kabir. They had this firmly in their mind. Allahu Akbar. So dear viewers, we need to ponder upon our dhat, our own selves. And when we do so, and we think, Allahu Akbar, how weak are we? We become ill, we have a headache, we have a temperature, we have a fever. Our body becomes sluggish. We're bedridden for a few days, and that's it. We're calling out to people for help. We think we're going to lose our life. That actually teaches us a great lesson. We have this ihsas now, this feeling. We are nothing. That we cannot even remove a headache by our own self. We cannot even recover from a fever, you know, instantly the way we want to. No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us health and He also makes us fall ill as well. And there are great lessons in this, that a person should remain humble and he should know at all times that he is reliant upon the dhat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is in need of Allah azza wa jal at all times. And then he should think, how can I show takabbur? And from head to toe, there is weakness. I walk around with impurity in my stomach. I don't have to elaborate. We all need to answer the call of nature. There's a system in place. Human beings eat and then we digest food. We look at the beginning, how we were created from an impure drop of fluid, right at the beginning. And then throughout our lives, we carry this impurity. If we don't bathe, we give off a bad odor. If somebody does not clean their mouth, brush their teeth, use the miswak, there's a bad odor coming from the mouth as well. So constantly we have to ensure that that impurity is being removed from us, that bad stench and odor is being distanced from us. Who are we to show takabbur? And this is why one of our saints, rahimahumullah ta'ala, he said so beautifully when he saw somebody showing arrogance. And he said, this is not the way of someone who carries impurity in his stomach, carries filth in his stomach at all the times. This walking arrogantly, this walking in a way that is not humble, this is not befit a believer. Concentrate on yourself. We are nothing. In an instant, everything can be taken away from us. Show humbleness. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, and I'll finish with this, has described the believers, the slaves of Rahman. He says in Surah Furqan, verse 63, وَعِبَادُ رَحْمَانِ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنًا. that the slaves of Rahman are those who walk on the earth humbly. In another verse of the Quran, in Surah Bani Israel, verse 37, the command is given, وَلَا تَمْشِ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحًا. Do not walk on the earth arrogantly. Do not strut. إِنَّكَ لَن تَخْرِقَ الْأَرْضَ وَلَن تَبْلُغَ الْجِبَالَ طُولًا. You will not be able to pierce the earth and you will not ascend the mountains in height. You can't do this. So what is the point of being arrogant? When you know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like the mutakabbirin, when you know that those who are mutakabbirin and they don't repent, they die in this state, as Muslims, they'll be deprived of entering Jannah initially. Later on, because of their iman, they'll go. But if iman is destroyed because of takabbur, a person will go to hell forever. That's eternal damnation. So afiyah, salvation lies in being humble. Allah is kabir, and being proud, showing takabbur befits him, not creation. We must be humble. Inshallah, when we're humble, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will raise us. And throughout our lives, we must teach others to be humble as well. And we must be humble in our actions, in our sayings, in our inner and our outer as well. May Allah ta'ala grant us humbleness. Ameen. Bijahi Nabi al-Ameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Oh Allah, you're the best of protectors, so protect me. Oh Allah, you're the best of protectors, so protect me.